Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to spend these next few moments together. Yesterday, I began a message I've entitled Spiritual Warfare, and if you serve the Lord for even a short time, you are aware that there are battles and trials and problems and bumps and all manner of things that aren't as desirable as you would wish. And that's because we are in a warfare. And the Word of God is very specific, and both in the Old and New Testament, it gives us a warning, it gives us understanding that we are indeed in a warfare. And I'm thinking now of a CD I heard, it was quite a long time ago, and I can't even remember the title of it. But I remember it was a very anointed message, and the brother was preaching that we do the unsaved a great disservice when we promote and present the gospel as just being a relief from battles, that, you're just going to have joy and love and peace, and we present it as a panacea, if you will, from all the ills and troubles of life. And in a sense, that is a misrepresentation. We need to present the gospel as truth. You know, when Jesus was asked by Pilate, what is truth? Jesus said, for this purpose, he came into the world to bear witness to the truth. He was describing his ministry. Yes, did he come to save sinners? Of course he did. But he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And beloved, this is how we need to be presenting the gospel, that it is the eternal reality of eternal truth, that man is an immortal being. And we make a decision through our will. God honors the human will. He has given that to us, either to accept Him or suffer the consequences of rejecting His offer of forgiveness and love and welcome and invitation into His family. And so this, you know, so often Christians, and I had found, no, that was my experience. You know, it was wonderful when I first got saved. It's what I call, there's a honeymoon period. But shortly thereafter, I began to experience real battles and real trials, and that continues throughout our Christian life. However, beloved, the difference is the more we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, the more we grow to love His Word and understand His Word, then we will have a peace and a joy as we go through trials that the world will not be able to understand. They won't be able to fathom the fact that we can go through problems just as they, but we don't have the same emotional, psychological response. Because why? We know, number one, it is a part of our experience as Christians. We are in this world, but not of it. The God of this world is in control. He was defeated at Calvary, but the final putting down of Satan does not occur until Jesus comes back, and He is bound for 1,000 years. So, beloved, we are in a warfare, but we can have joy. As James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith bringeth forth patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we understand, as we get familiar with the Word of God, there really are purposes in trials. And so I'm not sharing any new profound revelation. I'm sharing what the Word has to say, that Satan wants to oppose God's work. He hinders the gospel. And whenever we preach the gospel, either as a ministry or as an individual, we can expect opposition. However, we have to understand, and again, I'll share references from the Word of God, that afflictions can actually be made beneficial in furthering or promoting the gospel. Let me share some passages of scripture to emphasize that. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 4, it said, Saul, this is before he had his conversion experience, made havoc of the church and cast men and women into prison. And so what was the result? It says, therefore, that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, when Jesus left his disciples, he said, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, what happened actually is they didn't go out. They stayed in Jerusalem. And so the persecution that arose had the effect of causing them to be obedient to the command of Jesus. Persecution forced them to scatter. And as a result, that's how the church grew. In Philippians 1 and 12, Paul was speaking of his imprisonment. Now, anyone looking at that superficially would say, well, him being imprisoned, he was this great preacher of the gospel. That doesn't sound like a very good thing. He was hindered. However, we have to understand that in those long imprisonments, he had the opportunity to write these immortal words that are now a major part of our New Testament. And he gave much instruction to the revelation God had given him to the church, which is contained in what we call our Bible today. And so Paul, when he was speaking of his imprisonment, he said, in Philippians 1 and 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And as a result, he goes on to say, the saints were waxing confident by his bonds, actually because he was imprisoned, and they were much more bold to speak the word without fear. And then in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 16, and this is the Amplified Translation, Paul said, at my first trial, no one acted in my defense as my advocate, or took my part, or even stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the gospel might be fully proclaimed, and the Gentiles might hear it. So I was delivered out of the jaw of the lion. You see, at first look, we would say, wow, to be imprisoned, or if we were in prison, oh, well, this is not something that's good. Paul had come to the place that he realized God's purposes were even in his imprisonment, so that a type of people, a group of people, would hear the gospel that might never have heard it had it not been for those circumstances. So even though the devil wanted to put him in prison, that marvelous scripture, he works all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So some of you right now who are going through persecution, in fact, I'm just sensing right now that there are some that have been really hurt by some friends. And I don't know if it's within the church or just personal friends at work or whatever, but some of the things they've said have deeply hurt you and cut you to the quick. And so I want to stop right now and pray. Father, you see, there's no greater hurt, I think, than having friends turn against you or speak hurtful and harsh and unloving things to you. And Lord, I just lift up the pain and the sorrow, and I ask, Father, that you would just let your comfort come to them. And Father, I do pray the enemy would not be able to use bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment to be kindled at all. Father, I pray for the spirit of forgiveness. You told us, Lord, that if we would not forgive men their trespasses against us, you would not forgive us our trespasses. And so, Lord, that's how important forgiveness is to you. And so, Father, we release forgiveness. And Father, we pray that you are enabled us to be ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. So, Father, I pray for peace. I pray for, if it is your will, a restoration of relationship. And, Father, that whatever lessons you would have learned through this on both sides, that you would make them evident. And Father, I just thank you now for undertaking and intervening. And Father, just surrounding these that have been so hurt in Jesus' name and comforting. Take away the sting of those words, Father. I rebuke the work of the enemy to just hear those words going over and over and over again. And Father, I pray for the shield of faith to block any further work of the enemy to cause them distress in this area. Because we've given it to you, Lord, it's under the blood of Jesus. And we thank you as we watch you work now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I have been sharing how the devil opposes the spread of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel, but the spiritual warfare we experience a great deal is in our own personal lives. It's on a personal level. Why? Because the devil hates you. He hates God's people. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. An adversary, by definition, is one that contends with or opposes or resists. Look at the imagery of this verse. The lion is the largest and fiercest member of the cat family, and because of its strength, its cleverness at stalking prey, its terrifying roar, and its royal-looking head and mane, it's called the king of the beasts. They're good hunters. They usually hunt at night. John 3:20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. And in 1 John 2:9-10, the word tells us, he that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Lions know the habits of their prey and can stalk them silently or lie in wait at their favorite feeding or drinking places. Small animals can be killed by a single blow from one of their paws. Their front legs are tremendously strong. The claws are large and sharp. And larger animals grab the animal's throat in its teeth and break its neck. So, beloved, he's a lion, and the devil will attack personally when we are really committed to serving God and being used by the Holy Spirit to topple his kingdom. But we don't have to fear, but let's not underestimate the cleverness and the power of our adversary. But Jesus is greater. Greater is he in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. If you're in a special time of difficulty, I invite you to write, share your prayer needs, and I'll send back whatever God gives me to bless you. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.